Simple things are sometimes immensely complicated. Angel hair pasta with garlic and olive oil is one of the hardest dishes to make because there's no place to hide your mistakes. Simple is rarely easy, but simple is great when it's done right. If you'll allow me to wax philosophical, life can be like that. The part you can't control, anyway. Simple is better than complex. The Culinary Libertarian Podcast, episode 171. The Culinary Libertarian Podcast, episode 171. The Culinary Libertarian Podcast, episode 171. Hello, folks. Dan Reed here, the Culinary Libertarian. Welcome back to the podcast. Happy to have you here. Happy to be here. These past few years, and the last one most particularly, have been a pretty good example of what was not meant by the founding of America. Now, that's pretty easy to figure out. What is less easy to figure out is what was intended. Historian and podcaster and course maker Brian McClanahan has a course on Southern history. Now, I know there are a lot of knee-jerk responses to anything Southern, but if you know your history, the real America starts in the South. You're just going to have to take the course to find out why slavery wasn't part of that and how the North made it necessary. Yeah, in a way, the North were the baddies. Use my affiliate link, culinarylibertarian.com/southernhistorybundle, or click the link on the show notes page. This course is a super Christmas gift since it takes up no space and needs no batteries. You've been given a lot of slightly wrong information. Make 2022 the year you find out what that was. Click culinarylibertarian.com/southernhistorybundle to join McClanahan Academy. Paul Erdős was the most famous mathematician you've probably never heard of. He was Hungarian, so already he's amazing. He reportedly said his favorite number was 6. If my memory is right, he liked 6 because it is the product of the first two prime numbers. 6 squared is 36. That's special because the square of 8 is 64, and together they make 100, another square. 10, which is the product of the first and third prime numbers. Now, I'm no math major. I'm pretty bad at anything after arithmetic. I can do a pretty mean recipe conversion, but that's just practice and knowing my ingredients. But I like numbers. I was working at a Barnes & Noble when the book, The Man Who Loved Only Numbers, was published. I read it, and I loved it. Paul was, as told in the book, a challenging man to love. His passion was numbers. Paul Hoffman, the author, writes that Erdős would appear at a colleague's door, knock, and when greeted, announce, "My brain is open." I have my own passions that tend to consume me. Some reward me with a result, and some do not reward me at all. That's another show, but probably not. It is Christmas week, as of this podcast's release and a moment of reflection and analysis seems in order. It's been a wild almost 2 years, and all we really seem to have gotten is polarized. Not even Foster Grant's polarized. If you weren't about 10 in 1978, that commercial tagline probably means nothing to you. I'm old. So, Erdos, and 6 and 10 makes 60. I'm driving up that hill. Reflection is hard to avoid. Ferris said something about life coming at you fast. My mom loved Christmas. She had ugly sweaters with battery-operated lights before anyone knew what an ugly sweater was and before it was hip. Okay, it's never really been hip, but she would have loved she would have loved those sweaters. She was born in the late 1930s in Detroit. Her dad was a streetcar conductor in Detroit. She was the baby. Her brother, my uncle, was a good 10 years her senior. My grandma lived through the Great Depression. That left a mark. Mostly no one who lived through it went through life the same. People washed aluminum foil, saved bacon grease, and were frugal, frugal, frugal. My mom worked for what she had and married my stepfather, a realtor, in the 1970s. If anyone knew what was coming at the end of the Carter administration, I didn't read that anywhere. But I also wasn't even a teenager. So life got hard again. For a realtor trying to sell houses when the prime interest rate was in double digits, well, that was an exercise in hope and optimism and futility. My stepdad was also a Depression baby, and for him, that meant planting 2 gardens to make sure we had enough food that we put up and canned by canning or freezing to get us through the northern Michigan winters. Gordon didn't see 60. In fact, he was the age I am now when he died. Since he's my stepdad, I know that's no biological issue, but my mom was 68 and my father was 74. Both died from cancer. So, of course, at the advancing age, I am aware of that. It doesn't feel like it's hanging over me, applying pressure. I'm good at doing that all by myself. What Christmas adds is that my brother, a Christmas baby, died 3 years ago, not even 50. To get back to numbers a moment, I am 50% of what remains of my family. Now, I have my own family, but that's another story. Let me return to that 1980s house. That was in a town called Central Lake, a wee little town in northern Lower Michigan. More and more, I miss that town as I remember it and the rather simple life we had there. No cell phones, no internet. The biggest distractions were hunting season, movie theater in the town next over, high school sports, and Thursday night TV. Hill Street Blues. That house was pretty amazing. I'll add a link to the show notes page about how it came to be my parents' home, how they came to find it, and a little bit more of a glimpse into some of the peculiarities of my mother. There's also a picture of that house just after it was built. It's pretty amazing. The front yard had a large cul-de-sac, and it was kind of a turn down off the main road, go downhill over the tracks, and then there's this cul-de-sac, and there's this house. one particular December night, I don't remember the exact date, the volunteer fire department main engine came to the house bright and loud. Lights and sirens. We kids were in a bit of a panic. What the heck is going on? A couple of the crew got off the truck and, well, were pretty relaxed. No one unfurled or unrolled whatever it is they do with the hoses. No one seemed in too much of a hurry at all. This is odd. Then the front door opens and Gordon stands there, dressed in a Santa suit. They decided not to tell us kids that Gordon was now going to be the town Santa. They wanted it to be a surprise. Well, haha, it worked. Surprise! Gordon was the town Santa for a couple of years. Now, I lived in that house when I got my first job. When I learned to drive, there were many high school firsts in that house. I left thinking I was going to take on the world. You know, I was a teen, and I hadn't read Oscar Wilde yet. The world laughed and snarked, "Go away, son, you bother me." Part of reflection for me is thinking about what those experiences instilled in me. Midwestern hard work. Determination. I did end up cooking, and I think I did okay. I found a part of food that spoke to me, which means following the norms and customs of that cooking, which was satisfying when performed well, and maddening when it was missed. It was very challenging, so missing happened a lot. It built character. I turned that teaching into culinary arts. I turned that into learning baking and pastry and turned that into being a head baker. Now I'm driving a desk, a phrase I save for the useless floor surfers in Congress and various state legislatures. 2021 isn't 1979. It seems there are distractions aplenty and everything seems harder. I'm not where I thought I would be, both in life and geographically. It is odd that one of the two states I recall appearing interested in a social studies map, I'm in the second of them. It is odd that of the two states I recall appearing interested in on a social studies map, I'm in the second and lived 20 years in the first. That first was Florida, the second is Oregon. Oregon is pretty, but there's much not to appreciate, which has nothing to do with the geography. I feel I've covered that part well enough to be plain. What will my kids look back on? Masks? No play dates and being afraid? I know my folks liked seeing lots of loot under the tree on Christmas morning. That wasn't always possible. My mom made sure each of us had walnuts and an orange in our stocking. That's her Depression mother. An orange and walnuts was highfalutin. My kids do like hanging the ornaments and decorating the house. That's fun, and I'm glad they enjoy it, and I let them do it. I have plenty of my own memories of decorating a tree with popcorn strings and cranberry strings and construction paper chains. I still have some of the ornaments my mom and I made in 1968. Out of thick card stock and macaroni, yeah, pasta nowadays, and gold spray paint and glitter. We even made a star, but I think that didn't make one or another move. On the pasta ornaments I have, nearly all the pasta is gone, but her handwriting is on the back. That was a great memory of togetherness. Cutting out things, gluing noodles onto cardboard, and spray painting it. But it worked, and they lasted 40 years. We also cracked a bunch of walnuts, working very diligently to keep the shells in perfect halves. We took out the guts, glued the shells back together with a small ribbon between the shells to be the little hangy thingy. We painted the shells and glittered them, and that was more homemade ornaments, and I have some of them too. I think I miss the simpler times. I miss caring not at all what the daily thoughts of the president are and them being broadcast expecting me to care. Granted, I was worried about the algebra test or something else, but the point remains. The daily COVID numbers kind of remind me of the news posting of the Americans killed that day in Vietnam. I'm sure there have always been Karens and Carls, but it seems worse now. Everything is worse now, and those who did it mean to do more. I've worked myself up, although you can't. I could work myself up, and I don't want to do that. I want the world to stop so I can get off. I don't enjoy this ride any longer. Remember the canal scene in the real Willy Wonka movie? That boat and the rowing and this and the... That boat and the rowing and the... Is it raining? Is it pouring? Is a hurricane a-blowing? That ride stopped. I see no such relief soon enough on this ride. On this episode, I've been reflecting on the recent past. Maybe further down the timeline is necessary. Maybe all the way to 1777. Something went wrong somewhere. Some of you will cite this year or that year. Maybe that's the one thing in this long line of events that led to what we seem to have now, with most people treating government like Santa Claus. I've been good. What are you going to get me? I propose, in reflection, that the question better asked is, what can I do for others? That's not a common thought process, probably. Learning to think a new way should produce at least two beneficial results. One, you put your focus on others. Can I shovel your walk or rake your leaves? Does the recent widow really just need a hug and a willing ear for 5 minutes? That builds community, and it can be as small of a community as two houses. The other thing it does is it takes time and attention away from the absolute fiasco in the world today. Every hour seems to bring a new level of insanity. It actually does harm. So, ignore it. Pay them no attention. Focus on your community of helping others and tend to your own affairs. Read a book or write a book. Take up that skill you are mad you didn't do. Take up that skill you are mad you didn't learn during the lockdown. Ignore the news because it's all the same, bad and getting worse. Germany is doing Holocaust 2.0, part A, not the killing part. Oregon wants to become the New York of the Pacific Northwest with lifetime mandatory masks, fines for noncompliance, and changing the word immunity to mean only from vaccine-induced. That kind of content is debilitating, and it is to be avoided. It is a joy sucker. This episode started with a simple story of a man who had a singular passion. He built his community, His was a worldwide community of a very select set of people. You can do the same without all the work. You can do the same without all the travel. If I have advice for 2022, it is focus more on what's next door and on your block and in your neighborhood. There is an evil in the world that is permeating all levels. Defeating it is very hard. Nullifying it is easier, and this is just to ignore it as much as possible. Build bonds with neighbors. Start planting gardens for the spring, and who is going to plant what? Who wants to raise chickens so everyone has some eggs? Go find your local dairy farmer and beef farmer and chicken farmer and pig farmer. Find out who grows what in your 50-mile radius. Go make friends. I mentioned in a recent show, living a productive lifestyle. That's not my idea. That's the idea of John Moody. He's been a guest a couple of times. You can find John, go look for him on Telegram. I don't want to post his link because he didn't give me permission, but he's out there and he probably would enjoy hearing from you. It's right. Building a productive lifestyle is right, it's useful, and it's timely. Learn to bake. Learn to grind your own grains. Learn to grow your own grains. Make yogurt and sew and take up useful crafts. I'm digitally connected to a lot of people with amazing ideas. Find those people in your life and buy their books. It may seem dour. It may feel dour for a while. There is no going back to 2019. That's not going to happen, and that's straight from Klaus's mouth. It is fiction. The only way out of this is forward, but we can do it on our terms, not theirs. All right, folks, that's going to do it. This is Christmas week of 2021. I hope you have a Merry Christmas if you celebrate it, and if you don't celebrate it, for everybody, I hope there is peace and prosperity for all. I'm going to take next Monday off. I'm going to be spending time with the family and will be very little, if at all, connected to digits. For the next episode, just wait 2 weeks. I remain hopeful about the garlic episode, and I have a guest lined up who is an expert in cooking on a hearth, much like they did in 1690. Man, she knows a lot of stuff, and if the stars align, boy, that's going to be fun. Of course, send your ideas for shows that interest you. I promise nothing more than I'll read your email. However, several recent shows have been listener suggestions, so it can work. I'll add the email address, podcast@culinarylibertarian.com, to the show notes page. If you like the show, I would appreciate your support at culinarylibertarian.com/support. Please share this episode on your social media feeds and leave a rating and a review on your favorite podcatcher. Have a good week and a safe Christmas, and I'll see you soon.